to the emergency room.
有一位外科医生，他说在他做住院医生的时候呢，有一天晚上他在熟睡当中被唤醒，到了急诊室。
Unshaven and with tousled hair, he showed up, accompanied by an equally unpresentable medical student.
他胡子拉碴的，头发蓬乱的出现在急诊室，他身边的一个医学院的学生呢，也是同样的衣冠不整。
In the emergency room,They encountered the on-call medical resident and his student, both of them neatly attired in clean white lab coats.
那么在急诊室呢，这位外科医生和他的住院啊学医学生呢，就遇见一位值班的住院医生和他的学生，他们穿着呢非常干净整齐的白大褂。
The medical resident said to his student, "You can always tell the surgeons."By their absolute disregard for appearance.
这位住院医生呢，就对他的学生说：“你瞧瞧，你总能够从他们对外表的极端不重视当中，能够认出外科医生来。”
Two evenings later, the same young surgical resident was at a banquet when he was called to the emergency room for yet another emergency.
两天之后呢，这位年轻的外科医生呢，正在参加一个宴会，又被叫去急诊室做急诊手术。
He was stitching away on his patient, this time wearing a tuxedo from the banquet.
那么这一次呢，他穿着在那个宴会当中的燕尾服，在给他的病人缝针。
Then he encountered the same medical resident with his student.
这一次他又遇见上次碰见的医生和他的学生。
The medical resident looked at the surgical resident now, wearing the tuxedo, and said to his student, "Sure is sensitive to criticism, isn't he?"
那这个医生看看穿的燕尾服在做手术的外科医生，就对他的学生说，他还真正对批评挺严肃认真的，不是吗？
Have you ever been unfairly criticized by someone else, a family member perhaps, or a colleague?Or customers.
你曾经有没有被其他人不公正的批评过，例如是家人，或者是同事，或者是顾客？
It happens to all of us.
对，我们每一个人都经历过被批评的。
No one is exempt.
没有人例外。
Abraham Lincoln was one of the greatest and most respected presidents of the United States.
美国最伟大的、最被尊敬的一个总统是亚伯拉罕·林肯。
His nickname was Honest Abe, and he was remembered for his honesty.
他的绰号是诚实的亚伯，他也以诚实著称。
He presided over the greatest constitutional, military, and moral crisis in the United States, the Civil War, which threatened to divide the nation half.Over the issue of slavery.
他是在美国宪法、军事、道德危机之时做总统，当时美国南北内战因着奴隶制的争议威胁着将这个国家一分为二。
One of the greatest victories of the war was the Battle of Gettysburg from July 1 to 3 in 1863.
其中最有名的战役是1863年7月1号到3号所进行的盖提斯堡战役。
The consecration of the National Cemetery at Gettysburg was held on November 19th, 1863.
那么在1863年11月19号在盖提斯堡战役之后呢，国家公园典礼在这个盖提斯堡这个地方进行。
Edward Everett,spoke for over an hour and a half.
那么 Edward Everett 这个讲员呢，讲了一个多小时。
After his speech, President Lincoln had been asked to make a few appropriate remarks.
他讲话之后呢，林肯总统被邀讲几句应场的话。
Lincoln's Gettysburg address lasted about 2 minutes, and it has been considered the most quoted. And the most eloquent oration in United States history.
林肯总统所发表的演讲大约只有两分钟，却被称为在美国历史上最被引用、最多、最合宜的演讲。
He said, "Fourscore and seven years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal."
他说八十七年前我们的建国先父们在美洲建立了一个新的国家，致力于一个信念，就是所有的人都是平等的。
Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation, so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure.
那么现在我们在这场内战当中，正在测试着这样一个被建立又致力于人人平等的一个信条的国家，是否能经得起考验。
We are met on a great battlefield.Of that war.
我们在这场战争的战场上相遇。
We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live.
我们在这场战争的战场上相遇，我们将这个战场的一个部分专献给那些将他们的生命舍了而这个国家可以生存的人。
It is altogether fitting and proper.
作为他们最终的安息之所，我们这样做是完全合宜和恰当的。
That they should do this, that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground.
但是从广义上来看，我们是不能使这块地成圣的。
The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor powers to add or to detract.
这些勇敢的人，不论是活着的还是过去的，他们曾经在这儿征战过，他们已经使这块地成圣了，远超出我们。能够增加或减少这块地的小小的能力。
The world will little note nor long remember who we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
这个世界将对我们在这里所讲的没有太大的注意，但却不会记，但不会忘记我们所，也许不会记住我们所讲的，但却不会忘记他们在这里所做的。
It is for us the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus so nobly, advanced.
其实是我们这些活着的人被专献给这些尚未完成的工作，就是这些勇敢的人为此战斗，并拓展到可贵的拓展到今天的工作。
It is rather for us to be here dedicated.To the great task remaining before us.
其实是我们在 在这里被专献给摆在我们面前的伟大的任务。
That from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion.
从这些尊敬的烈士手中，我们接过他们为之奉献的他们最后的一份爱情的任务。
That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain.
我们在这里坚决的、坚定的决定说，这些烈士不会突然死去。
That this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom.
我们决定致力于这个国家在神的旨意下开始自由的新生命。
And that government of the people.By the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
美利坚合众国这个政府是人民的，被人民所建立，也是为着人民的，将不在地球上消失。
However, the editor of the Chicago Times, which was a prominent newspaper of that day, ridiculed that address.
但是呢, 芝加哥时代的编辑, 当时呢, 是很著名的一个报纸, 却在嘲笑那篇讲演。
On November 20th, 1863, the day after Lincoln delivered his famous speech, the editor of the Times wrote, "The cheek of every American must tingle with shame as he reads the silly, fat, and dishy, watery utterances of the man who has been pointed out to intelligent foreigners as the President of the United States."
那么就是在1863年11月20号, 就是在林肯总统发表他的演说之后呢, 芝加哥时代的编辑就这么写道, 当每一个美国人在读这个, 就是被拎出来站在聪明的外国人当中的美国总统所写的不知所云的话的时候呢, 他的双颊都会蒙羞愧。
Sooner or later, all of us has to deal with criticism.
迟早我们每个人都会要面临批评。
Let me ask you a second question.
让我再问你一个问题。
Has anyone ever tried to flatter you?
有没有人试图捧你?
That is, have they ever tried to praise you extravagantly?
就是他们是否试图大大的赞美你?
Let me guess. We are not nearly as sensitive to flattery as we are to criticism, are we?
我猜我们大多数不会对奉承像我们对批评那样敏感，是吧?
I smiled when I read a story about the late great motivational speaker, Cavett Robert.
我在读关于已过世的Cavett Robert先生的轶事的时候不禁笑了。 Cavett Robert先生呢, 以给予奉行鼓励的演讲著称。
Robert was a humble, kind man, who was also a successful lawyer, salesman, and the founder of the National Speakers Association.
Robert先生是一个谦卑仁慈的人, 他也是一个成功的律师、销售员, 还建立了美国演讲协会。
Robert once told of looking out of his window one morning, and seeing a skinny 12-year-old boy going door to door selling books.
他有一次讲到一个经历, 就是有一天他从窗户望出去, 看到一个瘦瘦的12岁的男孩, 正在每家每户的卖书。
Robert further noticed that the boy was headed for his house.
他再次看的时候, 看到这个男孩朝他家走来。
Robert turned to his wife and said, "Just watch me teach this kid a lesson about selling."
Robert先生呢, 就对他的妻子说, 让我来教教这个孩子怎样销售。
After all of these years writing books about communication, lecturing all over the country,
Robert先生呢, 写了很多关于交流的书, 也在全国演讲。
Robert continued, "I might as well share some of my wisdom with him."
他说我也许可以跟这个孩子分享一点我的智慧。
"I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I'll get rid of him before he knows what happened."
我不想让他心里不舒服, 但是我却想教他一下怎样在他还没明白之前就已经被我打发了。
"I've used this technique for years, and it works every time."
我已经用这个办法好多年了, 每一次都管用。
"And then I'll go back and teach him how to deal with people like me."
然后呢, 我再教教他怎样对付我这样的人。
Mrs. Robert watched as the 12-year-old boy knocked on the door.
那么Robert的太太呢, 就, 看着这个, 12岁的男孩敲他们家的门。
Cavett Robert opened the door and quickly explained that he was a very busy man.
那么, Robert先生开了门, 马上就说他很忙。
He had no interest in buying any books.
他也没兴趣买书。
But he said,
但是他说,
"I'll give you 1 minute,
我给你一分钟,
but then I have to leave.
我马上就要走。
I have a plane to catch."
我要赶一班飞机。
The young salesman was not daunted by Robert's brush off.
但是这个年纪小小的销售员呢, 却没有被Robert先生的解释打发走。
He simply stared at the tall, gray-haired, distinguished-looking man, a man that he knew was fairly well-known and was quite wealthy.
他只是单单地注视着这个高个儿、灰头发、长得挺好的先生。他知道他这位先生呢，相当有钱，也相当有名。
The boy said with a sound of awe in his voice.
这个男孩就带着一个尊敬的语气说
，Sir, could you be the famous Cabot Robert?
他说，先生，你不可能是那个有名的 Robert 先生吧？
To which Robert replied, Come on in, son.
Robert 先生对他回答说，小家伙进来吧。
Mr. Robert bought several books for the youngsters, books that he admitted he might never ever read.
那么那一天呢， Robert 先生从这个小小的销售员手中买了好几本书，这几本书呢，他承认他永远也不会读。
The boy had mastered one principle.The principle of making the other person feel important.
这个男孩呢，掌握了一条原则，就是让人觉得很重要。
And it worked.
那么这条原则呢，这次可派上用处了。
Sometimes we are criticized.
有时候我们被人批评。
People say unfair and negative things.
人们说些不公平或负面的话。
Sometimes we are flattered.
有时候我们受到奉承。
People puff us up and make us feel better about ourselves. Then it's good for us.
人们大大的夸奖我们，让我们对自己的感觉非常好。其实呢，有时候这种好呢，也许对自己没有什么益处。
How do you get to the point when neither praise nor criticism affects your day?
那么我们该怎样做才能达到一种不管是赞扬还是批评都不能影响我们一天的程度呢？
St. Paul knew what it was to be criticized.
圣徒保罗明白清楚受批评是怎样的一种经历。
In the New Testament church, there was a group of people known as the Judaizers who wanted to keep Christianity as a Jewish sect.
在新约教会中有一群人被称为犹太护法派，他们想要使基督徒成为基督教，成为犹太教的一个分部。
Since Paul was determined to take the faith to the Gentiles, these Judaizers looked for every opportunity to find fault with him.
因为保罗定义要将福音传给外邦人，这些犹太护法派就找任何的机会来寻保罗的错。
They accused him of being in the ministry just for the money.
他们控告保罗是为了钱才做事工。
And that was a joke.
这种说法是一个最大的玩笑。
Paul continued to support himself as a tent maker after he began his ministry so that he wouldn't be a financial burden on the young, struggling Christian congregations.
保罗开始服侍以后就一直做支帐篷的工作来养活自己，因为他不想成为那些年轻还在成长过程中的基督教会的经济负担。
Those who knew him best knew that he did nothing for his own gain.
那些认识保罗的人最知道保罗没有做任何事情来谋自己的私利。
These Judaizers also accused him of not preaching the whole gospel.
那些犹太派的人也控告保罗没有传全备福音。
St. Paul did not soft pedal the gospel or use flattery.Upon his hearers.
这次呢，他们又瞄错靶心了。圣徒保罗没有软化他所传的福音信息，也没有讨他的听者的欢心。
He told it as it was, as we used to say.
就像我们平日所说的一句话，他实事求是地将福音宣扬出去了。
Still they criticized.
他们仍然批评他。
And so Paul was forced to defend himself.
所以保罗不得不来为他自己辩护。
So he writes beginning with verse 5, You know that we never use flattery, nor do we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else.
他在 第五节当中说，因为我们从来没有用过谄媚的话，这是你们知道的，也没有存着贪心，这是神可以做见证的，也没有向你们或别人求荣耀。
Then what was Paul looking for?
那保罗求的是什么呢？
The answer lies in the second half of verse 4.
答案就在第四节的后半段中。
We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our heart.
我们不是讨人喜欢，乃是要讨那查验我们心的神喜欢。
Saint Paul has no interest in pleasing people.
圣徒保罗没有兴趣来讨人的喜欢。
Saint Paul lived to praise God.
圣徒保罗活着是对讨神喜欢。
Would you like to live your life impervious to the hurtful or the unhelpful opinions of others?
你想活出一种生命，是不被别人伤害或无意的意见打倒的吗？
Would you like to live so that you are not fazed either by criticism or flattery?
你愿意活着是不被别人的批评或奉承打动吗？
Here is the answer.
答案就在于
Live to please God.
活着讨神喜欢。
It's a simple thing.
这是一个很简单的答案。
If your primary audience is God,If your primary goal is to have God say at the end of your life, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then what difference would it make what other people say about you?
答案很简单，如果你的观众主要，你的主要观众是神，你的主要目标是在你生命的终结时，让神说，好，你这良善又忠心的仆人，那么其他人对你怎么评价又能怎么样呢？
It would make no difference whatsoever.
其他人的评价没有任何作用。
Now how do you live to please God?
那么我们现在怎样活着来讨神喜欢呢？
Saint Paul gives us the answer both in his words and his life.
圣徒保罗用他的身教、身传和言教回答了这个问题。
First of all,To please God with integrity.
首先要讨神喜欢，要过一个诚实无伪的生活。
That's what Saint Paul did.
这就是保罗所做的。
He says to the church at Thessalonica.
他对帖撒罗尼迦教会这样说。
For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives.Nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel.
我们的劝勉不是出于错误，不是出于污秽，也不是用诡诈。但神既然验中了我们，把福音托付交给我们，我们就那样讲。
You know we never use flattery. We did not put on a mask.To cover up greed. And God is our witness.
因为我们从来没有用过谄媚的话，这是你们知道的，也没有藏着贪心，这是神可以做见证的。
Living a life of integrity is more than simply keeping the commandments.
过诚实无伪的生活不仅仅局限于守住十诫。
Living a life of integrity is more than just simplyKeeping the commandments.
过诚实无伪的生活不仅仅局限于守住十诫。
There are many people of whom it could be said that they never killed, never stolen, never committed adultery.
有很多人可以被认为没有犯过十诫，没有杀人、偷盗，也没有犯奸淫。
That doesn't mean that they live a life of integrity.
但这些并不能表明他们过着诚实无伪的生活。
Keeping the commandments is an outward act.
守十诫是外在的行为。
Living a life of integrity comes from within.
而过诚实无伪的生活却是从心发出。
In Tommy Nelson's book, The 12 Essentials of Godly Success, there is a story of a writer for a newspaper in Toronto, Canada, who undertook an investigation into the ethical practices of auto repair shops in his town.
Tommy 呢写了一本书叫《属神的成功的十二要素》，里面讲到了一个故事。在加拿大多伦多，有一位报社作者来调查他所住的一个镇的汽车修理业的诚信度。
He took a spark plug wire off his engine, making the car run unevenly.
他把他车里的一个火花塞的电线呢，从这个发动机上拿下来，他的车就出故障了。
He took the car to different shops and asked them to fix it.
他就把车送到不同的车行，要求他们修理。
Time after time, people sold him unnecessary repairs or charged him for repairs that were not done.
一个接一个的机修工呢，修理了不需要修理的地方，或根本没有给他修理，却向他要钱。
Finally, he went to a small garage.
最后他来到一个小小的机修店。
A fellow named Fred came out.
一个名叫Fred 的机修工出来了。
He popped up the hood and said, let me listen to that thing.
他把车前盖打开了，然后他说让我来听听。
After a few seconds, he told the reporter, I think I know what's wrong.
过了几秒钟以后，他就告诉记者说，我大概找到问题所在了。
He reached down and grabbed the wire, announcing, your spark plug wire came off.
他伸出手去抓住那根电线，说你的火花塞线掉下去了。
And then he put it back.
然后他就把它放回去。
The reporter asked, what do I owe you?
那记者就问他说，你要多少钱？
I'm not going to charge you anything, Fred replied.
他说我不要钱。
I didn't have to fix anything. I just reattached the wire.
那么 Fred 就回答说，我们又没做什么，我只是把那根电线放回去了。
The writer then told Fred what he was doing, and that he had been charged all kinds of money by mechanics looking at that same wire.
作者这个记者呢就告诉Fred 他来的缘由，又告诉他机修工们看到这根电线，众多的机修工看到这根电线掉了，却让他付多样的钱来修其他的地方。
He asked Fred, why didn't you charge me anything?
他问 Fred 说，你为什么不要钱呢？
Fred said, I happen to be a Christian and believe that everything we do should be doneTo glorify God.
Fred 回答说，我正好是一个基督徒，并且相信我们所做的每一件事都应该是为了荣耀神。
I'm not a preacher, and I'm not a missionary, but I am a mechanic, and so I do it honestly.
我不是一个传道人，也不是一个宣教士，但我是一个机修工，所以我就诚诚实实地做一个机修工。
I do it skillfully, and I do it to the glory of God.
在我的工作当中，用技巧做得好，来荣耀神。
The next day in the newspaper, there was a headline that read, Christian mechanic, honest to the glory of God.
在第二天报纸上就有一个头条，基督徒机修工诚实无伪，荣归于神。
Integrity is honesty.
诚实无伪的核心就是诚实。
It is an uncompromising commitment to be truthful and trustworthy.
诚实无伪代表着对真理及诚信的一种绝不妥协的执着。
In the fourth round of a national spelling bee in Washington, 11-year-old Rosalie Elliott, a champion from South Carolina, was asked to spell the word avowal.
那么在华盛顿拼写比赛的第四轮比赛当中，11岁来自于南卡罗琳纳州的一个冠军叫 Rosalie, 她要拼一个字叫 avowal.
Her soft southern accent made it difficult for the judges to determine if she had used an A or an E as the next to the last letter of the word.
他的那个轻微的南部发音呢，使得裁判非常难判断他最后第二个字母是 A 还是 E。
The judges deliberated for several minutes and also listened to tape recording playbacks. But still, they could not determine which letter she had pronounced.
那么裁判官们呢，特意的协商了几分钟，并且呢，听了录音带，但是还是没有办法决定他到底是用的是说的是 A 还是 E.
Finally, the chief judge, John Lloyd, put the question to the only person who knew the answer.
那么最后呢，主裁判 John Lloyd 先生就问了这个唯一能够知道到底是哪个字母的人。
He asked Rosalie, who was the letter, an A or an E?
他就问 Rosalie 说，你当时说的那个字母到底是 A 还是 E?
Rosalie, surrounded by whispering young spellers, knew by now the correct spelling of the word.
那么 Rosalie 呢，在低声细语的参考的孩子们当中呢，其实这个时候呢，已经知道这个字正确的拼写是怎么样了。
But without hesitation, she replied that she had misspelled the word and had used an E.
但是她毫不犹豫地回答说，她拼错了，她用了 E, 不是 A.
As she walked from the stage, the entire audience stood and applauded her honesty and integrity.
当他下去的时候呢，全体起立为他的诚实无伪鼓掌。
This included dozens of newspaper reporters covering the event.
其中包括很多家报纸报社新闻记者。
While Rosalie had not won the contest, she had definitely emerged as a winner that day.
Rosalie 尽管这个女孩尽管没有赢得那次比赛的第一名。但他却真正赢得了那天的考试。
Do you want to please God?
你愿意要讨神的喜欢吗？
Live a life of integrity.
那么要过一个诚实无伪的生命生活。
That's hard to do in a world like ours.
这在我们的世界上做呢还是蛮难的。
We live in Spin City, where prominent and influential people.From every walk of life, hedge the truth.
我们生活在一个有似乎是像旋转的城市里面，生活各个层面的具有影响力的人呢，都在躲避真理。
They don't steal, not in a classic understanding of the word. They don't kill, they don't overtly disobey God's law.
以世界的标准来看，他们不偷，他们也不过分，他们也不杀人。他们也不过分违背神的定律。
They simply shade the truth.
他们只是使真理边缘化，好像是给真理涂上了阴影。
They use flattery and deceit.
他们用奉承并且欺骗。
Often they are motivated by greed.
很多的时候是因为贪心而做。
It is not good business to be completely honest about your ways.
就好像他们认为的商人对自己的产品绝对诚实时是做不到好的生意。
Advertisers will be unemployed overnight.
如果是对绝对诚实的话，那么商业广告也会因此绝迹。
A life of integrity won't make you popular.
诚实无伪的生活绝不会使你受欢迎。
However, it will make you respected.
但会却赢得尊敬。
And even more importantly, there is an audience of one who will be applauding.
更重要的是，有一位观众，这位真正的观众在为你拍手。
Want to live a life pleasing to God?
要想过一个讨神喜欢的生活吗？
Here's the first ingredient.
第一要素是
Live with integrity.
诚实无伪的生活。
And here is the second. Live a life of love.
第二是过一个爱的生活。
St. Paul writes, We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our heart.
圣徒保罗这样写道，我们不是要讨人喜欢，乃是要讨那查验我们心的神喜欢。
Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority.
他说, 尽管我们做基督的使徒, 虽然可以叫人尊敬, 尊重,
Instead, we were like young children among you.
但是只是在你们中间存心温柔, 如同母亲如养自己的孩子,
Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we care for you.
只是在你们中间存心温柔, 如同母亲如养自己的孩子,
That's 奶妈.
Yeah, 就像奶妈乳养自己的孩子。
Because we love you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well.
我们即使这样爱你们, 不但愿意将神的福音给你们, 连自己的性命也愿意给你们。
The reason Paul has such an impact on the churches he served was that the people he knew, he generally cared about them.
保罗对他所服侍的教会有这样大的影响力, 是因为人们知道他诚挚地爱他们。
As have been said, often said before, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
有一句俗语说得好, 人们 并不关心你知道多少, 除非他的知道你对他们有多少关心。
St. Paul cared.
圣徒保罗实在是关心他所服侍的人。
In 1821, a young lawyer named Thaddeus Stevens took on a case of a slave owner whose slave, Charles Butler, had run away.
1821年, 有一个年轻的律师, 名叫 Thaddeus, 撒都, 他接了一个案子, 是一个奴隶主的奴隶, Charity Butler逃走的案子。
Stevens argued successfully for the prosecution, and Butler was returned to her slave master, owner.
Stevens先生呢, 成功地办成了这个案子, 那么这个奴隶被判回给他的原的奴隶主。
Case 1.
这个他赢得了这场这个案子。
According to the standards of his profession, Stevens should have been elated.
按照他的职业标准来说, Stevenson 应该很高兴。
Exactly the opposite was true, however.
但是呢, 却恰恰相反。
Historians believe that this case affected Stevens deeply.
那么研究历史的历史学家们就相信这件案例大大地影响了 Stevenson 先生的一生。
He knew that he had been successful in an unjust cause.
他知道他成功地办了一件不公义的案子。
This didn't cause him elation, but shame.
这没有使他高兴,反而是羞愧。
As a result, he became a passionate advocate against slavery.
他成为一个执着的反对奴隶制的人。
He went on to serve 7 terms in the U.S. Congress and was the driving force behind the 14th and the 15th Amendments to the Constitution.
他在美国参议院当中连任七届的议员席位, 并且是宪法14、15修正案的主力提员。
These guaranteed equal protection under the law and giving slaves who had been set free the right to vote.
这14、15修正案保证了法律下人人平等的保护, 并且给自由的奴隶选举的权利。
In 2002, while excavating part of Stevens' property, archaeologists discovered that Stevens had beneath his home a hidden passageway, most likely to hide runaway slaves escaping by way of the Underground Railroad.
那么在 2002年的时候, 在 Stevens的地皮上面呢, 考古学家们在挖掘的时候, 他发现 Stevenson的房子下面有一个隐秘的通道, 很有可能是帮助隐藏逃跑的奴隶 去乘坐地下火车来跑到, 逃跑到北方。
Father Stevens went beyond being a man who was simply honest and upright.
Sadhu Stevenson 先生不仅仅是一个诚实正直的人，他也成为一个为了一个目标而奋斗的人。
He became a man with a cause.
他成为一个为了目标而奋斗的人。
The cause of the abolition of slavery.
他的目标就是解放奴隶制，是去除奴隶制。
He became a man intent on pleasing God.
他成为一个要讨神喜欢的人。
It is like something Tony Campbell, a professor of sociology at Eastern College in Pennsylvania, and a dynamic preacher of the gospel once said.
这就像 Tony Campbell 这位宾州东部 学院的社会学教授，一个强有力的福音讲员所说。
What you commit yourself to will change what you are and make you into a completely different person.
他这么说，你身心为之所献上的一个事工或目标将会改变你的生命，并且会使你成为一个完全不一样的人。
Let me repeat that a little bit.
让我再重复一遍。
Not the past, but the future conditions you, because of what you commit yourself to become, determines what you are more than anything else that ever happened to you yesterday or the day before.
它不会改变你的过去，却能改变你的将来，因为你全身心为之献上的，决定了你成为什么样的人。它比过去任何发生在你生命中的事件更有影响力。
Therefore, I ask you a very simple question. What are your commitments?
因此让我问你一个很简单的问题，你所致力的是什么？
Where are you going?
你往哪里去？
What are you going to be?
你将成为什么样的人？
You show me somebody who hasn't decided, and I'll show you somebody who has no identity.No personality, no direction.
你给我看一个还没有决定要奉献身心致力于一件事的人，我就可以给你显示这个人生命中没有自我的身份、个性或者定向。
St. Paul had a direction for his life.
圣徒保罗有生命的定向。
And neither his critics nor those who try to veer him off course of flattery or lies.Could make a dent in his contribution.
无论是他的批评家或试图用奉承谎言使他走偏的人，都没有办法使他所致力于的打一个折扣。
He knew what it took to live a life pleasing to God.
他知道过一种讨神喜欢的生活是怎么样的。
Living a life of integrity and living a life of love.
他知道过一种讨神喜欢的生活，就是诚实无伪的生活和爱的生活需要多大的定力。
Another preacher named Tony Evans said it beautifully as well.
另外一个讲员 Tony Evans 也非常美好的这样描述。
When your passion upon getting up each morning to say, How can I make God look good today?
当你每天早晨起来带着这样的热情说，我今天要怎样使神显为大？
When the passion of your life is to someday open your eyes in eternity and hear Jesus say, Well done, my good and faithful servant.
当你生命的热情是有一天你在永恒里睁开你的双眼，并且听见耶稣说，好，你这又良善又忠心的仆人。
When that becomes the consuming passion of your existence, it absolutely transforms your everyday experience.
当对主耶稣基督的热情成为你存在的、燃烧你生命的热情时，它就改变并转化你每天的经历。
Does that describe how you live your life?
这些话能概括你和我现今的生活吗？
Isn't it about time it did?
是不是到了一个这样的时候了？
How can I make God look good today?
今天我怎样使神将神显为大？
How can I live to please God?
我怎样活着讨神欢喜？
The answer is simple.
答案是简单的。
By the grace of God, live a life of integrity.
靠着神的恩典，诚实无伪的生活。
Live a life of love, because God first loved us.
也靠着神的恩典，过一个爱的生活，因为神先爱了我们。
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
基督复活了，基督真的已经复活了。
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. For those who have, who only understand English, we have a red hymn book. So, in the hymns, in case you don't understand. Oh, sorry.
What did you say?
I just said, you know, for those who understand English only, for those who understand English only, we have a red hymn book they can use.
如果我们当中只读只啊、只认识啊、只知道英语的话，有一个那个什么大诗歌本，你可以翻开来唱。